Well, have you ever noticed that when you're really busy, the stuff that gets your attention is always the most like urgent things? Like there's an emergency, you get a phone call, you get a text, there's a deadline you forgot all about, there's something you got to get in. And the next thing you know, this thing you were doing that may have been really important, you're like running off to do something else, and then you get behind on this other thing you needed to do later, and then you're just in catch-up mode all the time. We're almost always running like in catch-up mode, like we're trying to catch up to ourselves. So I do this all the time. Like all the time, I'll be in the middle of something important, and then my phone dings, and it's a message, or got an email, and it's that thing I forgot all about. That actually happened like more than once while I was preparing the sermon. I wish it didn't, but it did, and so all of a sudden I'm just off doing something else. And at least for me, I never get right back to the important thing I was doing. I always get, you know, I get distracted by something else, and then usually there's another thing, and there's another thing, and the next thing you know, I'm flicking through Facebook, and what's going on in the news, because, you know, the world's falling apart, right? Like, oh, what fell apart today, and like, oh, the weather. Always checking something, right? There's always something else to look at, and so we just get pulled further and further away from those important things, and sometimes the important things, we're lucky if we even get back to doing them the same day we started them. So we laugh and shake our heads, like, oh man, that was just a crazy day. I didn't get any of this important stuff done. But the problem is, the stuff that we're neglecting is actually pretty important. See, they don't feel urgent. They don't feel like an emergency. There's no deadline to them because they're just the stuff that you and I need to do every single day. And we always say, well, I'll get around to it. Those are like the death words, right? Like at any time you say, I'll get around to that, you mean, I'm never doing that. And maybe you even have good intentions, but it doesn't happen. And so things like our family, our friendships and relationships, the God-given mission that we've received, because we need to be about those things every day, they just get pushed further and further back, and they get swallowed up by the tyranny of the urgent. But what if all the urgent stuff, like, just went away for a little bit, and you could start fresh? What if all those things that kind of press and squeeze you away from those important things, what if they just one day kind of blew away? Guess what? They did. Like when the pandemic started, so much of that stuff that would just squeeze us and always felt so urgent, the extra things that took away from the most important things, like it just went away. And so all of a sudden, we were able to focus more on that important stuff, and we were able to set a different pace. The most important things became our priority again, and they got elevated. So one of the things that many of us said at the start of the pandemic was that we wanted to prioritize our spiritual lives and get closer to God, because honestly, our spiritual lives had kind of taken a back seat. We're pushing it off to the side and be like, oh, I'm so tired this morning. I don't think I can do my devotions. I'm just going to sleep in a little extra. I'm going to drink 3 cups of coffee instead of 1 this morning, or whatever it's going to be. And we wake up on Sunday morning and we're like, oh man, this is such a busy weekend. I think I just need to catch up on some other stuff. And so I'm going to skip a Sunday or 17 Sundays. It's how it goes sometimes. We get so busy that we don't feel like we can take an actual Sabbath, time where we can rest and worship and give our attention to the important things. But at the very core of us, like at the very core of who we are, you and I are spiritual beings. Yeah, we're flesh and blood, but we're spiritual beings. And so if we neglect our relationship with God and our spiritual lives, like it's not that much different than if you go without eating. So, you know, most years when we're not in the middle of a pandemic with the youth group, we do 30-hour famine. And so you get teenagers to not eat for 30 hours, which seems miraculous, does it not? But we go 30 hours without eating, and like, you know, so it's usually right around bedtime when they realize they haven't had dinner, and oh, the before bed snack hasn't come, and that's when it hits real hard, right? And it's like, I'm so hungry, and they notice it. But the next morning, I could do this forever. You know, it's like you're hardly even hungry, you're ready to roll. And so it's kind of like that. We go without eating, and at first, it's like, whoa, I think I missed a meal, but after a while, you start to get used to it. The problem is, the longer you go without food, the more everything else inside you gets messed up. Like eventually, systems in your body will stop working properly. It's the same way with our spiritual lives. Like when we aren't making our spiritual life a priority, a lot of other things in our life, eventually they're not going to work right. It might seem okay. You might be able to miss and skip for a little while and not give nourishment, not give attention to your spiritual life, but eventually you're going to suffer for it. So here's a question that for you guys who are watching online, I'd love you to leave your responses in the comments, and for you guys who are here in person, you can just offer feedback a little bit later on with, but when was your spiritual life its strongest? So when would you say your spiritual life was at its top strength? And then what were the circumstances of your life at that time? Like what was going on, or what wasn't going on, or where were you, or what do you think was helping to produce that strength in your life? So this morning, we're going to kind of unpack how we can actually make our spiritual life a priority. So I want us to take a look at how the early church did it. So if you got a Bible, and remember, there are no Bibles in your pew, so you're going to need to hopefully brought your own Bible, or maybe you want to open up your phone. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, you can do that. Or here's a real hint, just Google Acts 2, and you'll find it somewhere. If you're watching at home, then you got lots of options. But go ahead and find Acts chapter 2, because we want to take a look at how the early church did it. And in Acts 2, we kind of get this snapshot. Like it's this sort of perfect sort of picture of what the first church, the early church, looked like. So last week, we talked about the four priorities, and we laid out four different priorities. And one of the things I said along the way is that many of those can happen and be done simultaneously. So many of them can happen at the same time. So let's take a look at Acts 2, and we are going to be in verse 42 to start. All right, here we go. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Okay, so right out the gate, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. All right, so what is the apostles' teaching? We talked about this way back at the beginning of the year. The apostles' teaching, as we have it today, is the New Testament. So they actually had the apostles, right? Like they had the actual apostles to share the apostles' teaching. But we have it today as the New Testament. The apostles' teaching is the word of God. And then there's that word there. Devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, like, it hardly matters if you want to grab a different Bible translation and look it up. Almost every single one you're going to grab, you're going to see the word devoted. Devoted. Well, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Can you say that you're devoted to the Word of God? Can you honestly say to someone, yeah, I'm devoted to God's word? Man, that challenges me. Like, of course, and we need to recognize, right, we're not talking about being devoted to a book or being devoted to words on a page. We're talking about being so devoted to God, so in love with Jesus, that we want nothing more than to understand him better and learn how to follow him better. And so our devotion to him leads to a devotion to the word.
Because we want to know him better. We want to follow him better. We want to be in the midst of his will. So it's kind of like this. Like, I want you to think about your hobby. Like, what's your favorite thing to do when you don't got any work to do, when there are no other expectations, when there are no other things pulling at you? Like, what's your favorite thing just to spend an afternoon doing? So isn't it really fun when you get to take like a little bit of time and you get to sit down at the computer and you get to Google some stuff, like, or search on YouTube and watch a video about how to do it better, or you get some tips, or you get some instructions, you find out the right equipment to use, the right tools to get, or the right places to go, or the right way to stand, or the correct time of day, and it goes on and on and on depending on what you're talking about. But you get to look at these little tips and tricks and get some understanding, and then you get to go try it, right? That's awesome. Like, I love doing that. Like, I love just spending, you know, so this is bad. We all spend too much time Googling things, right? But I love just spending some time Googling stuff and looking stuff up on YouTube and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to try that next time. It's kind of what it's like to be devoted to the Word of God. Like, we love Jesus so much that we're just eager to spend some more time getting to know him better, getting to understand how to follow him better. We find the right things to do, and we find out the things that will actually harm us and hurt us, and we find out what pleases him, and we find out how to pursue his will and do the kinds of things he wants us to do. Only it's not a hobby. Like, as a Christian, our relationship with Jesus is the focal point of our life, and nourishing that relationship is the first step to getting everything else in our life in sync. It's the first step to get everything else in our life working the way it's supposed to. When you allow other things to encroach on your devotion to the Word, then actually all that stuff that is taking up your time and you're caring so much about, you're just undercutting it anyway. You're just undercutting it anyway. We have to be so devoted to Jesus that we care and are devoted to his Word and coming to learn to follow him better. So are you devoted? Are you devoted to God's Word? Are you devoted to his teachings? Could you honestly look someone in the eye and say, I am devoted to knowing and understanding and loving my God better through his Word? So I'd really like to stop there, because I really think it challenges me. And I think probably each of us need to check ourselves a little bit and ask ourselves that question. But I want us to go a little further. So there's something else that happens here that I want to point out in Acts chapter 2. So if you've still got your Bibles open, let's just take a quick look at verse 46. So verse 46 is, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and general hearts." So their devotion to the Word and their devotion to God and understanding him better, it wasn't just in a personal sense, but they were devoted to the Word in community. Now, if you were here last week or you were watching last week, then you know when we listed the four priorities, that community was one of them. And so here in a few weeks, Pastor Tyler will be here, and he will bring the message on the priority of community. But I just want to drill down on one part of this, and it's right at the beginning. And day by day, they attended the temple together. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Day by day, they attended the temple together. Now, you wouldn't blame them if they didn't want to go to the temple anymore, right? I mean, they had some pretty bad experiences with the temple, didn't they? I mean, that whole conspiring to arrest and kill Jesus thing, I'd count that as a bad experience. Like, you might have some second guesses about going somewhere if the people, if the leadership there conspired to kill one of your friends. And there were some things that were taught at the temple that they weren't sure what they thought about anymore. Things like animal sacrifices and the identity of the Messiah. They had bad experiences at the temple. They weren't sure what they thought of everything the temple taught. You've heard some people say that about church, haven't you? But the disciples still went. Because God has placed power in that word together. Together. See, there's something so intrinsically beautiful about what happens when we are together. Something so beautiful that happens to our souls that there isn't anything that can replicate it or replace it. When we come into this place together and we worship like people who aren't just doing a sing-along, but we worship like people who have a clear vision of who Jesus is and are responding because we know who he is. Man, the darkness trembles. The evil powers in this world shake for fear. When we do it together, there is nothing else like it. When we come into this place together and we hear the preaching of the word, when God's word is open to us and our devotion to the word, our own personal devotion to it, comes into being together, man, it cuts to our innermost being. Someone's calling me. Why do you say you've never heard a phone go off? Man, sorry. It's my mom. She texted me earlier. I think she's probably fine. All right, let's get back in gear here. When we gather to this place together, and we hear the preaching of the word, and our personal devotion to it, like our devotion that we have Monday through Saturday, when that comes into this place together and is joined with all our devotions together, man, a preached word, that can cut to our innermost being, and all of a sudden we are becoming everything that God wanted us to be. When we come into this place together and we're out in the lobby and we're getting ready to go, we get to encourage each other. The places in me that are weak, the places in me that are crumbling, man, you get to add the balm of the Holy Spirit to it by your word, by your voice. We come into this place together and we exercise our talents and our gifts to bless one another and to encourage one another. And there's nothing like that. I don't care where you're going to go. I don't care what club you're going to sign up for. I don't care who you're going to hang out with. There's nothing like what happens here together. It can revive our souls. It can sustain our souls. That's why when we've been in the midst of this whole pandemic, you know, we didn't say, well, hey, shut it down, see you in a few months. We did everything we could to try to hold a togetherness together, whether it was live streams online or Zoom small groups or just reaching out and phone calls and emails and so on and so on and so on. Together, together, there's power. So we can't allow ourselves to grow apathetic about meeting together. So some of you, you're watching at home right now, and for good reason you're watching at home. But there are some Sunday mornings when it gets hard, doesn't it? There are some Sunday mornings where you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll just watch later. Do you? We have good intentions, but we don't, and it becomes easier and easier and easier for us to disconnect. But don't do it. Don't give up. Don't disconnect. Don't unplug. Don't grow apathetic. Hold on. Stay together. Watch. Leave comments. Be connected and get back here as soon as you can. Because there's nothing like it. See, one of my, I want to say, greatest fears during all of this pandemic is that it would become easy for us just to stay there. Now, there are good reasons to stay there, right? Like when the virus fed its height and some of us are at risk, there were good reasons to stay there. But man, when the time comes to be together again, don't allow apathy to keep you from this place. It'll be easy to stay home. But what do we got to do? What do we got to do to make that a priority? Make this devotion to the Word personally and together a priority. So here's what I want to say. You've got to protect that time. So when it comes to your personal time, your personal devotion to the Lord with your quiet time or devotional time or time in prayer and Bible study, whatever you want to call it, you got to figure out the time that works for you and then actually protect it. So that means not allowing urgent things to trample on it. So again, a lot of things in our schedule got cleared out. A lot of things are still on hold. Figure out what time works for you, set it, and protect it. This is really about the decisions we make. So if you decide that mornings is going to work for you, like, man, you know what? I want to start my day right. I want to start my day in the Word and praying so that I feel God's presence from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. The time you go to bed the night before matters. See, we need to actually process this a little way out. If you decide it's going to be on your lunch break at work, it's awesome. That would be a great time. Where can you get off by yourself? Is there a place where you know you can be uninterrupted and spend time with God? We got to set that time and then protect that time. In terms of getting together like this, you know, whether you're here in person or you're online, we can come up with those lame excuses, can't we? We just got to stop those lame excuses. Like, again, what happens here together is important for our souls. And we will almost always drop it for the smallest, lamest reason. We got to put some of those excuses to bed. Now, I'm not saying that we go 7 for 7 every day on our devotions, right? I'm not saying that if you miss out on the perfect attendance Sunday morning worship award, you didn't even know there was one, did you? I guess you ought to try harder. I'm just kidding, there isn't one. There isn't one. Some of you are like, I never got that because you're not here enough. Just kidding, there isn't one. Attendance is its own reward. That was the word from the front pew. Yeah, I like that. That goes with what we're saying. So I'm not saying that we're going to get perfect attendance. I'm not saying you never have a vacation. I'm not saying you're never sick and you miss a Sunday morning. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. What I am saying is we can't just get around to it. Sometimes we treat our devotion to God's Word as if, well, if there's nothing better to do today, I'll get to it. Don't you think that's probably insulting to God? I do. I think sometimes our devotion to Him, our commitment to our time together, is like 6 on the list. And then the other 5 things come up first. Well, they get priority. Man, I'm saying we can't do that. Can't do that. Because if we leave it to, I'll get around to it, you won't until it's an emergency. And the problem is that time of emergency will come and you'll realize you're spiritually bankrupt. So I have no idea what's in the comments or what you might be thinking, but to that question that was asked earlier about when was your spiritual life the strongest and what were the circumstances of your life, I'm willing to bet for a lot of us, we would point to a really hard time that we were going through. I think I would. But that's because I left it to them. And wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if the times when our spiritual life was the strongest had nothing to do with whether it was crisis mode or not? It's all about decisions. And I know there are some things that are out of our control, right? Sometimes things just happen. You wake up and the pipes are froze, or the furnace isn't working, or the window's broken, or whatever. There's just stuff that's out of our control that takes us away, right? But if we're being honest, some of the things that we say are out of our control, they were in our control 4 decisions ago. It's all about decisions. It's all about decisions. Are you devoted to the teachings? Are you devoted to God's word? And what decisions do you need to make to prove it? You know how you know when someone's really devoted to something? You can tell by the decisions they make. They make decisions that'll favor the things they're devoted to. So what's it going to take for you to say to someone, honestly, I'm devoted to God's word, and I'm devoted to what it says? You've got this really incredible opportunity to reshape your life and reshape your schedule and set a new pace so that you can be fully devoted. Are you ready to do that? Just be calm.